Hi, this is Laura with Kick-Ass in Life, where I help you get hired fast, be smart with money, and be a happier and healthier you. Today, I'm talking to Vanessa Tincotti, who works in partner marketing at Smithsonian Channel. But beyond that, she's a kick-ass leader in her industry. She has a really unique story to share about how she made the leap to work in New York City.
You know, failure is absolutely the most effective way to learn and grow as a person. So if that's the only thing holding you back, you just got to do it.
She's somebody who is really making moves and putting herself out there. Here's our interview. So I met you through Women in Cable Telecommunications. We met at one networking event. And since then, I've seen you at a bunch of WICT events. And I've really enjoyed chatting with you and hearing about sort of your career, how you got started. You've had a career spanning, you know, digital and cable. And I'd love to talk to you a little bit about sort of what you do now, as well as sort of what was that first job that got you there?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Laura. I appreciate it. To talk a little bit about what I'm doing now. As you said, I'm working for Smithsonian Channel, doing partner marketing on the digital side. So I'm working with, you know, iTunes, Amazon to kind of sell and market our content to their platforms. In the past, I've worked on the affiliate side. So I was working with also partner marketing, but with the cable companies. So now I'm on the digital side. And that actually is a bit of a return back to what my first job was. My first, very first job out of school was actually in Washington, D.C. That's where I went to college. And my first job there was at Nat Geo Channel and their digital group doing production coordination. So I got a lot of exposure there to back when it was new. This was back in 2009. So the digital TV space has come a long way since then. But it really was a nice exposure to kind of how that business kind of started taking off. And it's really cool to be back in that space now that so much has changed and it's so much bigger than it was.
So tell me about how you got that first job in DC after you graduated.
Sure. Yeah. So that was actually an internship that I had done my last semester of college. I had an internship on their digital media team. And then I was lucky enough that when I graduated, they had a role on the team open up within a month. So I had packed up and moved all my stuff back to Massachusetts. Then a month later, they called. I had a job. I moved all my stuff back down. And it was really like a natural progression, which was nice.
That's so amazing. I feel like a lot of interns that are coming through now are curious how, you know, they're curious if they can get that job at that company after the internship ends. And I guess what recommendations would you have? Like what did you do to stand apart so that they wanted you back?
I think I just really fit in with the culture well there. So that wasn't really as much of an effort on my part. You know, I met them. I really liked the people. We did good work together. And I made it clear when I left that I was interested in coming back. I think that's probably the most important thing, just to not waffle on that. Be like, yes, I would love to come back if you'd have me. And just keeping up that relationship and you know, emailing as it hasn't opened up yet. You know, just being committed and dedicated to it, I think helped.
Yeah, I love that you continued to follow up and you were in their inbox, you know, ready and willing to sort of be there as soon as you graduated. So I think that's really good advice for anyone sort of getting started or who has an internship. And there's also no guarantee you may get that job, but keeping up those connections, I think, is really key so that, you know, they can be recommendations down the line if they don't have a job.
Yeah, it really is. And also, you know, if it's not that exact team, look wider, look at the company, look at their parent company. You know these people, you have someone's email. So if you see another job that they could maybe help you with, I think most people are willing to help, especially if you've worked with them and, you know, they want to see you do well.
And what was your transition like to New York?
It was a bit of a rocky transition. So that first job at Nat Geo was actually, it was a year-long kind of temp situation that could have been turned into a permanent job. But this was, again, 2009, the height of the Great Recession. So they did not have the budget to turn that into a staff job. So what happened is I moved back home to Western Massachusetts, but I knew that I wanted to be in a city still. And my boyfriend at the time, now husband, wanted to work in music, and I wanted to work in TV. So we were like, I think, you know, New York's not too far. We should probably think about New York. So I lived at home to save money for 8 months, and I was kind of coming in and out of the city for interviews and finally nailed something down.
Oh, that's so good. I was not quite as lucky in terms of, you know, finding a job I'm from Kansas originally, and finding a job from my, you know, mom's couch in Kansas. So I had to sort of move here and sort of navigate that and temp and do that. But I think that's incredible that you were also at the same time, you know, saving money so that you could make the move, because I do think that, like, being here, being in New York makes a big difference when you're actually here and job searching as opposed to somewhere else. But at least you could come into the city for interviews, which I think is a huge, huge help.
Yeah. It was challenging. And it was, you know, an 8 month period. I was waitressing at home as well. If I had, you know, lived farther away, I probably would have moved here and done the waitress thing here. And, you know, that would have just been another way to go about it. But luckily I was close enough so I could make it work.
And what were some of the top lessons that you learned in your first couple of jobs?
I think probably my first couple of jobs, it was a lot about, you know, learning what was kind of most important to me, most essential to me to have in a workplace beyond just like the work itself, but learning, you know, that I really needed to like the people that I worked with, for example. Like if I didn't connect with my coworkers, I wasn't going to be able to do my best work. And also something I learned that was very important to me was believing in the mission of the company, kind of like the overarching, you know, what are we doing? What's the reason for all of this? And feeling like I believe in that mission is really important to me as well. So I think the early years was a lot of kind of figuring out where my values were in that kind of area.
Yeah, I love that, because you also want to feel like you fit at the company. And so I think values are super crucial to be able to feel like, hey, I believe in this mission. I want to really work hard because I believe in what we're doing here, as opposed to just getting whatever job you can. And maybe at some point it's good to just get whatever job so you can just get started. But I think the way that you approach it with always sort of having an eye toward sort of what's bigger or the mission, I think is important not to forget.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, exactly. It might not be what you're doing at the time, but just to have, you know, that reference in your mind and knowing what you're trying to work towards can really help you through some of the tougher spots where you're not feeling quite as passionate.
And what about now? How do you try to sort of be unforgettable, work hard in your current position?
I think the thing I'm working on most now is just not being afraid to kind of put myself out there more. You know, I'm a bit of an introverted person naturally, so sometimes it can take me, you know, some time to come out of my shell. But as I've grown in my career and I'm becoming more confident in my skills and abilities, realizing that if the only reason I'm not doing something is because I'm afraid of failure or being exposed, like that's just so much more of a reason to do it. You know, I think like being afraid of failure is something that a lot of people struggle with. I think women struggle with it a lot. But I think really in the past couple of years, I've realized that, you know, failure is absolutely the most effective way to learn and grow as a person. So if that's the only thing holding you back, you just got to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good approach, that the worst that can happen is you learn a lesson if you have a failure.
Still a success.
It's still a success. I love that. And so what would be one of your biggest pieces of advice for someone just getting started in their career?
I think something that I struggled with a little bit at first was just not knowing exactly how how I could use my skills in the best way. So I was always like wanting to keep my options open and not sure exactly which career path I wanted to take. So I think that led me to be a little bit vague sometimes. And when you're going in interviewing, you know, these people want to hear specifics. They want to hear why you want this role. They don't want to hear, oh, I just really need a job, which is something that, you know, that might be true. But I think the biggest piece of advice I could offer is find something specific about the role or the company that you can feel passionate about and be able to articulate that clearly would be helpful.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, even for me, I would have taken any job. So, you know, when I was first getting started, because I just needed a job. But at least what I did is I created different versions of my resume for each thing so that I was applying for, because I felt like that was the way that I could kind of show that my experience at least aligned to what they were looking for. And whether or not, you know, I was super interested in that particular role, I could find a little nugget of what interests me at that company for the reason I
exactly
applied.
Yes, find the nuggets.
The nugs. What do you see like in the industry from those that are just sort of like entering, either maybe interns that you've seen kind of come through? You know, what are there any pitfalls that you think people should know to avoid?
I think other than just, you know, what I just spoke about, you know, not being too vague, I think is a big pitfall. And just, I don't know, don't be afraid of hearing no. You know, just if you, it's not rejection, you know, you're out there, you're trying to find what you're trying to do, you're going to get a lot of no's, but just be persistent and, you know, something'll click.
Yeah, I love that. My dad was in sales and he always said every no is one step closer to a yes. Yeah. And I always just have that in my mind because I know that it just, you get more used to rejection, you get more used to hearing the no's, and then it just makes you easier for you to go and say, "Oh, well, I could fail at this, but that's okay because it's just a no and I can keep going," and it becomes easier to hear it.
Yeah, I think definitely. It's just important to try not to get down on yourself and take the no's personally, because it's not personal.
So what do you do? What do you do outside of work? How do you take care of yourself? Obviously, New York is very busy. It's crazy. How do you take care of yourself?
Yeah. So as you said, New York is kind of crazy. So my home is kind of like my sanctuary. I'm very much you know, I keep my space very calm, and luckily at this point I've moved past the stage of needing roommates, so that's very nice. but just like creating a space that you can recharge in. Also, I have recently started meditating after years of thinking that I probably should, because my brain is just crazy and going 24/7. I'm trying to take a step back, and I've started using this app called Headspace. I don't know if you've
heard of it. Yeah.
But it's this this guy who's trained with monks, and he has all these guided meditations. So I try and do 10 minutes every morning just to kind of center myself for the day. And I think that's been really, really helpful, just getting me in the right place to kind of tackle everything. Yeah.
I love that. And what about another thing that we like to talk about on the podcast is how to manage your money. And especially when you're first getting started, you may not have a lot of money, but what were some lessons that you sort of learned as you got more experience, you know, increased your salary? What are some of your biggest lessons?
That's tough, you know. This is a very expensive city we live in, and as I said, you know, having my home be a place of calm is very important. So, you know, you got to spend a little money on that usually, and I think it's just about prioritizing, and maybe learn how to cook. Save some money on takeout.
Did you in your current positions and past positions, were you a good negotiator when it came to your salary? I mean, I certainly have learned a bunch, but I was not good at the first start of my career. What have you learned?
Yeah, not at all. I did not negotiate at all in the beginning of my career. I was just happy to have a job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I as I've gotten older, I think you know, everything that's coming out also about like the gender disparity, I feel much more like women need to step up and really ask for what we deserve. I think one of the best ways to do that, and even though it's kind of still controversial, is actually sharing your salary information with your peers.
Yeah.
And people you know, people you feel comfortable with, people in your company, if they're willing to share. Because if you don't know what other people's value are in the market, it's hard to figure out what you kind of deserve. So if you're comfortable with that, like being open to sharing that, I think is a really big step.
I think that's great advice. And also there's groups, and you know, there's this group I'm a part of, Ladies Get Paid, where people are talking about it openly on a Slack forum. It's a very, you know, protected sort of group, but it allows a lot of insight into what people are making. But I mean, that is only women. So you also need to talk to sort of the men and see what they're making, because I think that can be really telling too.
Absolutely.
So what's next for you? Sort of like, how are you looking at your career? How are you sort of, you know, kicking ass every day?
Well, so you mentioned earlier how we actually met through Women in Cable and Telecommunications. I feel like that group specifically has been so great for me in my career. I've been a member for probably like 6 years now, almost my entire time in New York. And I've just met so many great people, and I've been trying to give back more because I've gotten so much out of that group. So I'm actually applying for the board. So hopefully maybe I'll be on the WICT board next year.
You'd be great.
Yeah. And as far as on the job front, I've only been in my current job for about a year and a half, but, according to my boss, I am kicking ass. So I will I'm up for a promotion next month. So really excited about that. And just being able to kind of grow that role beyond, what it's been in the past. This is actually the first role I have taken on that I took over from someone. Pretty much all my jobs so far have been newly created. So this, I have kind of like a baseline of the person before me, and I'm just trying to really grow from what that was and make it my own.
I love that. Good job. Congratulations for being so amazing. What are you, are there any books you're listening to, podcasts, anything that you're sort of consuming that, you know, helps you in your career, helps you with self-care or with money?
You know, I tend to be very escapist in my media, I have to say. I really should read more helpful things. But instead I just like binge watched Love Island, which is a British reality dating show on Hulu.
I love that.
But yeah, I don't know. I think as far as podcasts go, I just really like to keep up on what's going on in the world. So I'll listen to, you know, The Daily, like some news podcasts. I don't really have much to offer in the way of
no, it's good. I think that escaping is, you know, important too, because that's also self-care, is like protecting your mind. And, you know, sometimes like separation of church and state, like that's good for your brain and can allow you to be refreshed and come back to work more inspired. So that's all valuable.
I'm in a book club as well, which I would highly recommend.
Oh, I love that.
Just getting together with, you know, a group of girlfriends every couple months and reading a great novel or whatever and talking about it. It's really brought a lot to my life.
Amazing. And so tell us how we can find you. If you want to share your like Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever.
So LinkedIn, I'm at Vanessa Tencati. Last name's Tencati. And my Instagram, I take some good pics. Follow me. I'm a VNESLT, so VNESSLT.
Vanessa, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
And that's it for today. Thank you again for Vanessa. I really enjoyed speaking with her and getting to know her, and I hope you did too. As always, I do this for you. Please email me if I can help you, kickassinyourlife@gmail.com. We're talking on the site about making goals. That's at kickassin.life. And you can also follow me on Instagram. It's the same, kickassin.life. If you like this podcast, please share it, recommend it, rate it, review it. Anything helps it get views and helps more people hear it. So go out there and kick ass in your life. Until next time.